1 Samuel 13 and verse 3. Jonathan attacks the Philistine outpost at Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Jonathan attacked. Now, I've already looked at the background here. And in that background, and what a dire background it is, Jonathan steps forward. The times were not favorable. Quite the opposite. It was not convenient. It was not the right time, you might say. Israel was cowering before the Philistines. As we saw in the previous discourse, they were looking to the Philistines to sharpen their weapons, such as they were, agricultural implements. Philistines were riding roughshod over Israel. And here was Saul with 2,000 men, and Jonathan with one. Two swords in the whole realm. Saul, what is he doing? Nothing, as far as we can tell. Nothing. The times were bad. Israel's cowering, frightened. Nobody knows what to do. And against that background, this young man, Jonathan, attacked the Philistines. Now, let me say straight away that this, of course, is in the Old Covenant, and I expect wars, fighting, swords, killing, battles, and so on. But in the New Covenant, our warfare is spiritual. Our weapons are not carnal. We do not take the sword. Rome takes the sword. Islam takes the sword. Too many evangelicals are going into political weaponry. No, no, no. The weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They are not carnal. But we draw the principles here. I draw the principles from Jonathan. He attacked the Philistines. I'm reminded of William Carey going to India. The times, the circumstances were not favorable for him. He had no license to travel to India. War was about the place. Think of all the difficulties of the language. His wife was due to give birth. The innovation of the thing. Everything was against Carey. But he attempted. He went. You remember in the book of Haggai. The Jews were saying, it's not time to build the temple. It's not time to build the temple. And God was angry with them. It's not time to build the temple. Never is time. It never is the right time. It never is convenient. We strike when the iron is hot. The trouble is, the iron never gets hot. We'll go on quietly. We'll keep our head down. We'll hope for a better day. We'll be trusting in God's sovereignty. We'll pray. Of course God is sovereign. Of course we must pray. But Jonathan is not of that ilk. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost or garrison. Now, not every commentator agrees with me. Some disagree very strongly. But I believe that Jonathan has a lesson for us. I believe that today, at least as far as I can see, many churches, many spiritual people are virtually cowering. We're weak. We're hemmed in. We're disappointed. We've suffered for many, many decades now an increasing apathy and indifference. I'm reading sermons and books and so on written 40, 50 years ago, and men complaining of the apathy and difficulty and the trials. I was listening to a sermon by Martin Lloyd-Jones just two days ago, and he was speaking of the terrible times. Well, that's probably in the 60s or 70s. 30, 40, 50 years ago, maybe the 80s, I don't know when it was, but it was about that time, speaking of the difficulties and the hard little progress being made, the disappointing, the disillusionment. Look what happened in the 70s and in the 90s. Our enemies are proving too strong for us. Nothing is more chilling than apathy. And we're suffering from it today. Oh, we got plenty of mattocks and axes and sickles and all these agricultural implements the equivalent of. But there's plenty of preaching going on. But what power is there in it? There's plenty of books being written. But what's been happening in this country of ours? Can't speak for other countries, but what I know, it seems to be a declining time. Oh, there are churches looking to the world and they're using corporate business and entertainment methods, and they seem to be flourishing. But the spiritual life, the spirituality is what I'm looking for. Who knows what Israel ought to do? Is there any sense of taking the fight to the enemy? Remember, I'm speaking spiritually. There's some discourses in this sermon audio page of mine where I speak on confronting the cultures. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, for example. Confronting the cultures. Paul confronted the Jews. He confronted the Greeks. He ridiculed their things. He brought down their doctrines. And he exalted Christ. He didn't tread carefully, and nor did Jonathan. Jonathan attacked. Well, we don't want to annoy people. We don't want to offend people. We want to be politically correct. We want to keep a low profile. We do gently things. And of course, we can blame God because he's sovereign. I believe the hour calls for a Jonathan. What does he do? He had 1,000 men. That's nothing against a Philistine garrison. He was pretty feeble, really. It was useless. Saul chose 3,000, 2 for himself, and 1 with Jonathan in verse 2. There was 1 sword in Jonathan's hand. The rest of the people, his men, his 1,000 people, had gardening implements. So what did he do? Well, as I say, we don't know what Saul did, but we know what Jonathan did. He wasn't sitting still. He wasn't hoping. He wasn't praying. He wasn't discussing. He didn't form a committee. It says simply, Jonathan attacked. He got up and he attacked. And he didn't attack just a small group. He attacked a garrison. This is what it says in verse 3. Israel has attacked the Philistine outpost, verse 4. A garrison, in one version, I think, or the garrison. The audacity of the young man, 20-year-old, or thereabouts. The effrontery of the man. It was a flea taking on an elephant. We need Jonathans today. He didn't look at the odds. He didn't count the cost in the wrong sense. He didn't weigh the difficulties. He ignored the consequences. He threw caution to the wind. He didn't just watch and talk about it all and describe it and write books on it. He went over to the attack. He deliberately provoked the Philistines. He wasn't just defensive, biding his time. He threw, as I say, caution to the wind. He risked all. This is the need of the hour. We need men and women of Jonathan's ilk, young men and women, maybe, who will think outside the box, attack with courage, and go forward, advance with determination. Not softly, softly. Carey spoke to men of the ilk of Fuller, Ryland, Sutcliffe, and Pierce. And this is what he said. Sirs, will nothing be done. Sirs, will nothing be done. And he went and did something. The psalmist in Psalm 3, verse 6, I will not fear if tens of thousands are drawn up against me. Think of the odds Carey had to overcome within himself, the innovation of it all, the difficulties around him. Think of the difficulties that Jonathan had to face. And he attempted great things for God. You remember that was Carey's dictum. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Not the other way around. He didn't attempt and then expect. He expected and then he attempted. Trying. Taking. The fight to the Philistines. The audacity of it. You remember the 4 lepers? In the book of Kings, second book of Kings. What are we doing sitting here? Let's go and try. Let's go and try, they said. Remember Abraham? I was reading it this morning. He didn't consider his body. He didn't think of the difficulties. He trusted God. And it seems to me that Jonathan is of that ilk. Montgomery, Field Marshal Montgomery, he was a general then. When he took over the 8th Army at Alamein, a little railway halt on the edge of Egypt, Rommel was staring at him. The British Army had been driven across North Africa by Rommel. And when Montgomery took over the British Army, the 8th Army there, what did he find? He found that the army had drawn up plans to withdraw to the Nile Delta. What did Montgomery do? The first thing he did was to destroy, to burn all the plans of retreat. "We are not retreating from Alamein," he said. "We'll either conquer here or we'll die here." That was his motto. Burn the plans of retreat. I understand when the Romans landed, they would destroy their boats, burn their boats behind them. No going back. Jonathan is of this ilk. Remember, I keep saying it. I'm not talking physically, but we need in our day the audacity not to sit still, but in the day of apathy and decline and difficulty and darkness, the dying day. What did we do in the dying day? What did Jonathan do? In the dying day, he attacked. And that's my discourse here. That's what I want to learn. What can I do to advance the gospel? How can I take the gospel into all the world, into all my world, and preach the gospel to every creature? Can I write? Can I preach? Can I speak? Can I witness? Can I give a testimony? What can I do? All open air, street preachers, whoever it might be, whatever can I do? I raise the challenge to you, my brother. I raise the challenge to you, my sister. Is there a Jonathan listening to me? Is there a young man, a young woman, who will have the audacity to stand up for Jesus and to face the enemy and to confront the cultures? Islam, Rome, the false religions, the false sects, all kinds. Standing up for Christ, facing the atheist, the evolutionist, and preaching Christ and the gospel. In this dying day, what shall we do? Attack. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outpost at Geba. May God grant us some Jonathans in our day.